book of Genesis. We're going to pull out of Proverbs one more week, and then Lord willing, we'll get back into our study of Proverbs next week. But I want to kind of give us an end of the year challenge or something to kind of think about as we go into a new year. And I kind of like taking time to do that. The way the Lord has set this thing up, I kind of like the way God gives us fresh opportunities. And every day is really a fresh opportunity, and I think we ought to take advantage of that. There's different times of life that you go through that may be a fresh opportunity, but I really think we ought to pause at the end of the year as we go into another year. Of course, Pastor teaches this all the time, to evaluate, but kind of look into a new year. And, you know, God gives us the opportunity, Lord willing, to where, you know what, areas maybe we didn't do great in 2014, and we can look ahead and do better in the next year. So I want to kind of give us a challenge for that this morning. And so Genesis chapter 17, I finished my Bible reading early this last year, so I was going to kind of wait. I read through the book of Revelation two or three times. I love reading through there, but I decided to start reading in Genesis, and the Lord showed me something out of Genesis I want to share with you this morning. So Genesis chapter 17, and we're just going to read one verse, and then I'll kind of give you some background of the chapter, and I want to show you some things here. Let's just look at verse 1 here. Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. Bible says, "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect." And we'll talk more about the background of this, but let me read it to you one more time. "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God, walk before me and be thou perfect." Let's ask the Lord to bless the teaching of the Bible this morning. Lord, we love you. Thank you for all you've done for us, God. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that it helps us, Lord. It makes us better, Lord. Thank you for speaking to us through it. Now be with us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look here at the story of Abram, I'll just give you a little bit of background here. Abram had just had Ishmael. And of course, you know, God had promised Abram that he was going to be a great mighty nation. But the problem was Abram didn't have any children. And him and Sarah are past the years of having children. So unfortunately, Abram decided to take matters into his own hands. And Sarai gave her handmaid Hagar to Abram to be his wife. And he had a child with Hagar. And that son he had was Ishmael. And he, you know, Abram, instead of waiting on God, he decided, hey, you know what, God, you need some help fulfilling your will. And let me just say this, folks. I'm not going to probably talk about this morning. But you know what? We get in a lot of problems. We think we're going to help God. And God doesn't need any help from us, okay? And we just need to wait on God, be patient, do His will, let Him do it when He's ready to do it, okay? And obviously, as we all know, our world still today is suffering the consequence of this one poor decision Abram made. Of course, Ishmael, his descendants, are the Arab people, and we know that the Arab people have always been in conflict with the children of Israel and cause a lot of conflict in the world today. But this is where Abram's at. Okay, Abram's wondering if God is ever going to come through on his promise. So he decided to take things into his own hands. And then, you know what? God shows up. And after Abram made this poor decision, God shows up to Abram. And chapter 17 is a chapter of God commanding Abram some things, reminding Abram some things. And even though Abram made the mistake of having this child with Hagar, Abram still re-ups his commitment to the Lord. And so, but God says something to Abram here in verse 1. And there's three things here in this verse. I want to kind of break down these three things he said to them and kind of give us a challenge today. And I guess if I'm going to entitle the Sunday school lesson anything, I want to entitle it this: What God Expects From Us in a New Year. What God expects from us in the new year. Now, this could be what God expects from us at any time. But as we're going into a new year, I believe there's some things we need to kind of get a fresh view on. And kind of maybe if we need to hit a reset button. And, you know, remember the old vacuums that had that red reset button on them? And I don't know if any of the newer ones do or not, but that's because I never used one, all right? And, those old vacuums, those old Electrolux vacuums, I remember, all right? Because when I was a kid, it was my job, the vacuum, all right? And I remember every once in a while that thing would stop working, and or maybe something would get caught up in it. You know what you had to do to make it work again? You had to hit that red reset button, okay? And so there's times in life where we just need to hit that reset button and kind of restart and look at things from a fresh view. And so that's what I want to do this morning. So let's look at the three things God says to Abram here in verse 17. I'm sorry, chapter 17, verse 1. Here's the first thing he said unto him is this: I am the Almighty God. That's the first thing he says to Abram. I am the Almighty God. Now, maybe Abram had forgotten who had gotten him where he was at, because he had just taken matters into his own hands. He kind of had a lapse of faith, okay? And so he decided, hey, you know what? Instead of letting God be God, I think I'm going to be God in my life for a little bit. Well, you know what? The first thing God needs to remind Abram of is this: I am the Almighty God. And notice here what God does to Abram in the following verses. Notice what he says here in verse 2. Look what it says: and I will make my covenant between me and thee. Did you hear what he says? God says, and I will make my covenant. Verse 5, look what he says at the end of it. It says, for a father of many nations hath I made thee. All right, look again at verse 6. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations come out of thee. Verse 7, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee. Again in verse 8, and I will give unto thee. You know what God was doing? He said, Abram, hey, guess what? You know what? You're not the one that's going to make this thing happen. I'm the one that's going to make it happen here. Okay, and he was reminded of Abram, of who he was. I am the Almighty God. God wanted to remind Abram here that, you know what? He was the one that was going to do it, okay? And he was reminding him that he had the power to accomplish what he was, what God was wanting to accomplish. So how does that translate to us today? Here's the principle that we need to take into a new year with us is this: God expects us in 2015, or in this new coming year, to do things His way. All right, that's what God expects out of our lives, is to is for us to realize that God wants to do things His way. Now, that doesn't sound like a hard concept. That doesn't sound like something hard for us to grasp. But let me say something. You know how many times in life we try to get ahead of God, and we try to, you know what? God may not work it the way we think He ought to work it. Let me just tell you something about God, and I think y'all know this, but God doesn't work on our timetable. Now, I wish sometimes He did, okay? But you know what? He doesn't, okay? It's because He's God. And just because He doesn't do it the way we think He ought to do it, or the way we want Him to do it, or in the time we want Him to do it in, doesn't mean that God is not going to accomplish His will, okay? And we need to allow God in this new year to get behind Him and do it His way, okay? And you know what? Abram learned a good lesson here, because instead of letting God fulfill the promise through Isaac, which, by the way, he did do that, okay, God's will was accomplished. Abram said, you know what, God? I don't kind of like the way you're doing it here. I think I'm just going to do it my way. And you know what? A lot of problems came from Abram doing it his way. Let me just say this, folks. You know what? We can't get ahead of God. All right? We've got to do things the way God wants them done. All right? And you say, well, how do we know how God wants them to things to be done? Well, when it comes to the church, okay, when it comes to serving in the church, that's why God's given us a pastor, amen? And God is going to reveal to our pastor the vision for the new year, and then what God expects is for the people to get behind the pastor to accomplish the work of the church, okay? That's God's plan. In our own personal lives, how do we know what God wants to do? Well, God, I promise you, will reveal it to you through His word. Okay, I'm sure in 2015, none of us know what kind of decisions we're going to face. I mean, if you go back to a year ago from now, and Pastor and I were talking about this morning, and you look at all the things that happened in your life in 2014, I mean, aren't you glad in 2013 you didn't know what was going to happen to you in 2014? I mean, we could all look at all of our lives, our church family, the scope of everyone who's represented here. And, you know, there's a lot of things that impacted people's lives in this last past year. Okay? And I'm glad I can't look ahead and see the future and know what's going to happen to me in the coming future. So I don't necessarily know what's going to happen, but you know what I do know? I do know that I can trust the one who does know the future. and that's the Lord, all right? And so as we look ahead at this coming year, that we need to allow God to do the work his way. We need to get answers from the Word of God. I mean, this is where I was trying to go a while ago, but here's the thing. In 2015, you're going to face some things you're going to have to make choices in. You have to make some decisions in. And I promise you, you know what? God's not going to appear to you in a vision the way he used to the Old Testament prophets and give you the answer. Sometimes I wish it was that easy, okay? But you know what? That's not how God works in the day and age we live in. But I promise you this, God will speak to you through his word and through the Holy Spirit of God living inside of you, okay? So you can know what God wants by embracing his word, okay? Now, notice here in verse 5, that Abram, by the way, responded properly. When God showed up, Abram responded properly, okay? Look here in verse 3. Notice here, when God said all this to Abram, look what happened here in verse 3. And Abram, here's what it is, ready? Look what it says, fell on his face. Abram fell on his face. And I'm wondering maybe if Abram would have done that earlier, if he would have spared himself some of the consequences of his bad choices. But nevertheless, you know what happened when God showed up? You know what he did? He fell on his face. Okay, by the way, that's a great response for us. Okay, we need to fall on our face before the Lord. Okay, and by the way, you go back and you look at all the Old Testament and even in the New Testament. Anytime a person had an encounter with God, the first thing they did was they hit the ground. They fell on their face. I mean, you could go back and trace that all through the scripture, okay? And what a great response here. And because of Abram's response to that, notice how God responds in verse 5, okay? He says this, "Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram, but thy name shall be called Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee." You know what God did? Immediately, in response to Abram's submission, God promoted him. God lifted him up. By the way, that's what the scripture says. Submit yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Okay? And so God immediately changed his name from Abram, which just means a high father, which is more of a common term, to Abraham, which means a father of a multitude. And God immediately gave him a sign, if you will. Pastor taught about that the other night. A sign to the fact that he was still going to accomplish his purpose for his life. So as we look into a new year, and as we see what lies ahead, or as we begin to live out the new year, if the Lord tarries, let's make sure that we do things God's way in this new coming year. I mean, hey, folks, you're faced with a decision, and you don't know what to do. Well, you know what? Find out what the Word of God says and do it God's way. Okay, I promise you, if you do it the Lord's way, you submit to the Word of God, things are just going to work out better, okay? And so if anything, learn from your past mistakes and do things the Lord's way. So that's the first thing God says to him, "I am the Almighty God." Now look at the second thing he says before here. Three words, here it is, back to verse 1, chapter 17, "Walk before me, walk before me." Now this speaks of position. Okay, this speaks of position. And God wanted Abraham, notice here, to be in the place where God could bless him. Now, folks, listen. God wants to bless us as Christians. He wants to do that. By the way, I'm not talking about this health and wealth, Joel Osteen garbage. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. But I promise you this. God wants to bless you in your life. Okay? And here's the thing. Don't always equate the blessings of God with material blessings. There's way more blessings in the Christian life than just money, okay? Now, you know, sometimes God will bless you in that way, but there's way more blessings than that. Listen, God wants to bless us as Christians. 2015, God wants to bless your life, okay? God wants to pour his blessings out upon you. But you know who that's up to? That's not up to God. That's up to you. It's up to God. It's up to you whether you receive the blessings of God, all based upon your position with God. Okay, because folks, you study the scripture out. Blessings are usually conditional. If you do this, then God will do this. Okay, so you get to choose whether or not by the decisions you make, whether God blesses you or not. Okay, and that's what he said. God, the message he's trying to get to Abram, walk before me. Okay, now here's the things. And here's the principle for 2015. God expects us in 2015 to walk in the place of blessing. That's what God wants. He wants us to walk on the right path in a new year. Okay, and I got a message I've preached it before about the new paths in the new year. But God expects us in 2015 to walk on the right paths. Now, I think we would all agree. There's certain paths that we should be walking on. There's certain paths we shouldn't be walking on. Okay, and hey, if 2014, maybe you took you took some detours along the wrong path. Listen, don't continue to walk on the wrong path in the next coming year. Learn from the mistakes you made, and as he said to Abram, walk before me. Walk before the Lord in the right paths. Now, I chased that word through the Bible, that walk. And it was interesting here because when you look at the meaning of the word, it's not just talking about, you know, literally putting one foot in front of another and walking. He's talking about the direction, the path that your life is on. That's what he's talking about here. And as I begin to study that out, there's a lot of things the Bible has to say about that. Let me give you a few verses here. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Now listen to this, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Hey, there's a good path right there. And he says not to walk on and to walk on. The direction of your life shouldn't be after the flesh. That means pleasing your flesh. Pleasing the things the things that are selfish in our life, the things that our flesh want to do. And then he says, but walk after the Spirit. Walk after the Spirit of the Lord. Here's another verse that kind of deals along those lines. Romans 8:4, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled notice this, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There it is again, who walk not after the flesh. The path of their life is not after the flesh, but it's after the Spirit. Here's another verse, Ephesians 4:17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. Once again, talking about the things that just maybe seem good to you, the vanity, the emptiness of the mind or of human reasoning. That's not how God wants us to walk, okay? So as I begin to chase that out, there's a few things here, some paths that I found. So number one, we shouldn't walk on the road of faithlessness. Faithlessness, okay? Remember, walk before me, the direction of life, the path I'm going to walk on. Okay? It shouldn't be one of faithlessness. Now, let's use Abram again as an example here, okay? Back in Genesis, if you back up in Abram's life a little bit, remember when God was testing Abram? And back in Genesis chapter 12, and God brought a famine in the land to test Abram. And you know what Abram did? I'll read the verse to you. It says here, and there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there. And Abram, for a short spurt of his life, got off the right path of trusting the Lord and walked in a path of faithlessness. By the way, and this is a whole other topic, I don't have time to develop it, but when Abram decided once again he was going to do things his way, there was a lot of bad consequences that came from that. By the way, where do you think Abram and Sarai picked up Hagar from? Picked her up from his trip down to Egypt. Okay, and one bad decision, one bout of faithlessness led to another bout of faithlessness until there were huge ramifications from that. So in this coming year, let us not walk on a path of faithlessness. Now, I don't know why God set it up the way he did. But in the day and age we're living, in the church age, God, everything we do, God expects us to live by one word, and that's the word faith. God expects us to live by faith, okay? Now, by the way, understand this. Faith isn't this, you know, this little misty, weird little feeling that comes over you that makes you tingle. That's not faith. Okay? By the way, you look it up in the book of Hebrews, and let me tell you what faith is. Faith is a verb. It's action. That's what faith is. I mean, you know, everybody wants to have all these religious t-shirts and these religious billboards, want to have their cute sayings about faith, you know, faith this and faith that. Well, let me tell you what faith is according to Scripture. It's action. Okay, faith is this, all right? And there's many definitions of faith, okay? And a lot of them all probably mean the same thing in a roundabout way. But a basic definition of faith is simply this: obeying God whether or not you understand it or not. That's faith. That's action. I mean, whether or not you understand God, you're just going to obey God, okay? I mean, hey, I don't understand sometimes the way God works. By the way, you'll never understand God, okay? His ways are way above our ways. Now, you can understand about God, you can understand him through his word, But you know what? You'll never wrap your human mind around God, okay? It's impossible, all right? Because he's God. And so the way God works, I don't always understand. I mean, I don't get it why sometimes God allows certain things to happen in certain ways. I mean, hey, I don't understand why yesterday Sister Jean fell and that happened to her. We don't understand that, but you know what? For some reason, God had a reason for that, okay? And you say, oh, you're just trying to play the God card on everything. No, folks, listen, nothing happens on accident, okay? I mean, Brother Don and Sister Jean were supposed to go to Florida, leave for Florida the next couple days. Well, maybe God knew something was going to happen and had to keep them from going there. I mean, you, as a Christian, you begin to look at things like that, okay? And don't walk on the road of faithlessness. Okay, there's another road we shouldn't walk on. And you say, well, why did I put this in here? Well, I think it's important. We shouldn't walk on the road of immorality. Now you say, now what's that got to do with this lesson? Isn't that kind of a little out of the way? Now, folks, listen. Okay, if we would look back, okay, and I'm telling you, the devil is so slick at what he does and so good at what he does. I mean, if you would have told me a year ago the people that we just know of, some people we don't know of, but people just we know of who fell into immorality, I never would have believed it. But let me tell you something. That is such a tool of the devil, a trick of the devil, and we're living in a day and age where the flesh is glorified and people aren't ashamed to show or do anything anymore. And it's easy, accessible. Folks, listen, as Christians, we got to remember something, all right? God expects us to be holy people, and we got to be moral people, all right? 2 Samuel chapter 11, listen to this, talking about David here. And it came to pass in evening time that David arose from off his bed, notice this, and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof, he saw a woman washing herself, and the woman was very beautiful to look upon. You know what happened here? You go back and look at the whole context of that story. David was walking a path he shouldn't have been walking on. David was not at the place he should have been at, okay? And he chose to walk a different path, and because he got on the path of immorality, boy, oh boy, you want to talk about a disaster. You want to study the end of David's life and all the results that happened because of that one path he walked on. He paid huge, huge consequences for that one decision. Huge consequences. All right, and once again, that's a whole other Bible study. But let me just say this, as Christians, all right, let's not walk on the road of immorality. Walk on the road of being moral, all right? Keep your morals right. I mean, folks, remember something. If you're not married, God expects you to keep your morals right. If you're married, God expects you to keep your morals right. Okay, we're living in a day and age where morals are out the window. I mean, you know, that feels good, do it. That's a philosophy of the day. Okay, people are living like animals. But listen, that should not be the case with Christians, okay? So let's not walk on the road of immorality. And there's more we can say about that, but I think you understand where we're going there. All right, number three, don't walk on the road. Here's one of disobedience, okay? I look back at the life of the prophet Jonah. And here's what it says about Jonah. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. That was the path he was supposed to walk on. God clearly defined it. Jonah, here's your path, walk on it. But notice what Jonah did here. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You know what happened here? God clearly defined Jonah's path. But instead of walking on the path God said to walk before me on, Jonah decided to walk on his own path. And by the way, look, once again, we could go back and look at the consequences of that decision, okay? And so folks, listen, 2015, walk on the path, do not walk on the path of disobedience, okay? Now look, there's things probably going to happen in your life that you're not going to want to do, all right? I mean, hey, I mean, your flesh doesn't always want to do the things it ought to do, all right? I mean, I think we all understand that. But here's the thing, we got a choice. We got to decide that, you know what, I'm not going to walk on that path. I don't want to disobey. I don't want to break Bible commands. I mean, wherever you're at in your Christian life, I promise you, you keep coming to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you know what you're going to hear? You're going to hear things that challenge you, you know, because that's what our pastor does. Okay, he always says this. He says, you know, I'll accept anybody wherever they're at, but don't expect me to let you stay at that position for very long. Okay, aren't you glad you're in a church where the preaching of the Word of God challenges you and encourages us to be better for the Lord? I'm glad I'm involved in that kind of church. By the way, that's what preaching's supposed to do. You're not always supposed to be get this warm, gooey feeling inside when you're sitting in church. You know, it ought to hurt sometimes. Okay, it ought to really sting a little bit. You've heard the old saying, you've heard the story before where the guy walked out and told the pastor, "Well, pastor, you really stepped on my toes this morning." He says, "Well, I must not have done a good job because I wasn't aiming for your toes, I was aiming for your heart." Amen? Let me tell you, that's what the preaching, the Word of God's supposed to do. It's supposed to pierce us a little bit. It's supposed to show us up in the areas we're not doing right in. So wherever you're at in your Christian life, I promise you, you come to Blessed Hope Baptist Church in 2015, you're going to be challenged. Now, when you're challenged, you got the choice. Am I going to obey the things that I hear, or am I going to disobey? All right, you got that choice to make. So walk on the path. Don't walk on the path of disobedience. Don't walk on that path. And there's one more path we'll talk about, then we'll move on. Don't walk on the road or on the path of denial. On the path of denial. Let's talk about Peter for a minute. Okay, notice what it says here. Now, Peter sat without in the palace in Matthew chapter 26, and a damsel came to him saying, "Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied before them all, saying, "I know not what thou sayest unto them that were there." I'm getting a little too fast here. Let me go back. Matthew chapter 26, let me read it again. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came to him saying, "Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee." But he denied before them all, saying, "I know not what thou sayest." Now listen to this. And when he had gone out into the porch, another maid said unto him, "That thou were there. This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth." And the point I'm trying to make is this. You know what, Peter, he denied, and then you know what he did? Instead of walking away from that, it says he went out into the porch. You know what he did? He began to walk on that path of denial. He denied once, but he didn't stop. He walked on that path. He continued down that path. And before you know it, you find Peter denying the Lord Jesus Christ. Now here's the thing, folks, listen. 2015, pastor's going to challenge us to evangelize more than we've ever evangelized before. He's going to challenge us in that area. I mean, he's going to challenge us to get involved in ministries. He's going to challenge us to get out there and do things that are way out of our comfort zone. He's going to challenge us that. Now, here's the thing. We got to, as Christians, as Blessed Hope Baptist Church, 2015, living in a day and age where the Lord could come back at any moment, we can't afford to walk on the path of denial. We got to get out there, folks, and tell people about Christ. And we can't be afraid to do so. And so don't walk on that road of denial. Don't walk on that road of denial. I read this verse, and it kind of spoke to my heart about this. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 10. "Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven." What a promise. What a promise. Did you hear what he said? He said, you know what? Every time that you confess me before others, you know what I'm doing? I'm confessing your name before my Father. That's what he says. I mean, think about that. I mean, every time you hand out a tract and say, you know what? Jesus Christ loves you. Do you know for sure if you're saved? And you begin to witness to people, that gets Jesus' attention. And he says, hey, Father, look down there. Look what those Christians are doing. They're confessing me before men. And you know what, Lord, look at that, Father. And that impresses Jesus, if you will. I mean, he literally, when you confess him before men, he confesses you before his Father. What a promise. But he's not done. Listen to what he says here. "But whosoever shall deny me before men," and I don't necessarily claim to understand exactly what this means, but I'll just read it. "Him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." That's interesting there. I mean, that means this. If you're ashamed of Jesus, guess what? He's ashamed of you. You're ashamed of him, he's ashamed of you. Now, I don't necessarily know what that means. I'll deny him before my Father. And I mean, maybe he will deny. Maybe he's talking about denying because part of his job in heaven is to be our advocate and to be our mediator. Maybe he'll deny a prayer being answered. Or maybe he'll just say, "Father, I'm ashamed of them. Look at that. After all we've done for them, after all I suffered for them, they're denying me. Father, I'm ashamed of them." Now here's the thing. If I want Christ to say something about me, I want him to confess me before the Father, not deny me before the Father. So here's the thing. As Christians, 2015, part of that path we need to walk on, or that we shouldn't walk on, don't walk on the path of denial. Don't deny him. Okay, and to stand up for Christ, be a bold witness, and that will be that's what pleases the Lord. So
When God said to Abram, walk before me, he's talking about the path of his life, okay? So in 2015, let's not walk on those wrong paths there, okay? And then last of all, we'll finish up with this one. Let's go back here, back to Genesis chapter 17. And notice the last thing God says to Abram. And this is interesting here. I am the Almighty God, walk before me, and listen to this, and be thou perfect. And be thou perfect. Now, don't get scared, okay? Because that doesn't mean that God expects us to be sinless, okay? That's not what the word perfect there is referring to, okay? If you look that word up, it means complete is what it means, okay? Be thou perfect or be thou complete, okay? And let me just break that down in the very simplest form. Here's what it means, okay? In 2015, God expects us to do everything we know to do that's right. That's a good definition of the word complete. Wherever you're at in your Christian life, whatever you know to do, God expects you to do that or expects you not to do that. Okay? Now remember something. There's all kinds of different levels of spiritual growth present in this room today. I mean, some of you have been saved for years, and because of that, you're a mature Christian. Some of you have only been saved for months or maybe only 1 year or wherever. And you know what? Your faith hasn't grown as much as someone who's been saved for 20 or 30 years. Now listen, God doesn't expect the same thing from you as far as your knowledge, what you know to do, as he does from someone who's been saved a month. But let me say this, okay? God expects more from someone who's been saved longer than someone he does for a month. Wherever you're at in your Christian life, wherever your growth level's at, God wants you to be perfect or be complete. God wants you to be complete, okay? And so in 2015, make it your goal to do everything that you know that's right to do. Now, down here in verse 9, okay, in Genesis chapter 17, God makes a covenant with Abraham, and it was the covenant of circumcision. Now, that was done for a reason, for a purpose. And by the way, that in the Bible, circumcision is always a sign of putting off fleshly deeds, is what that's a sign of. Okay, it's always a sign of putting off fleshly deeds. And God gives that covenant to Abraham, and it's a covenant as a sign to all of Israel for the fact that, you know what, they're set apart from the world, is what that's a sign of. And it's a fact that God expects his people to live a clean, holy life before him. Now, folks, listen, part of this being complete, part of this being perfect or complete, if you will, it's you learning and you getting to the point where you put more and more of the flesh off, as we read the verse earlier, and putting more and more of the spirit on. Okay? And that's what he's talking about here, being complete. And you know what, by the way, God set the bar pretty high. Okay? He did. He set it pretty high. I mean, listen, God expects you to be different from the world. God expects you to put off the deeds of the flesh. You say, well, what are the deeds of the flesh? Well, the Bible clearly defines those, but I think living in the day and age we're living in, it's pretty obvious to see what the deeds of the flesh are. Okay? And God expects his people to be different than that. You say, well, I've heard people say, well, you people of Blessed Hope, you guys are a cult. They're, you know, you don't do this or do that. And you've heard that old saying before. Well, here's the thing, folks. It's not that, you know, we're part of a cult. It's just the fact that, you know, we believe what the Bible says. And the Bible has clear, definite teachings on the facts that we got to put off the deeds of the flesh. And as Christians, that's what God expects. And God wants us, just as he did set this covenant up with Abraham, all right, with circumcision to put off the, which represents putting off the deeds of the flesh. That's what God wants us as Christians to be in 2015. God wants us to be more and more putting off the deeds of the flesh, okay? And to be thou perfect. And you see, here's the thing with Abram. You go ahead and look at his life. And I know we've talked about some negatives of him this morning. But you know, for the most part, Abram was a very faithful man. In fact, the Bible says he was called the friend of God. Think about that. That was the first person in the Bible that we know of that God said he was my friend, the friend of God. And you know what? He did go on to live that complete life. And you know what, by the way, you know what? God did keep his word a blessing to Abraham. He says this on down in verse 6 and 7, "I will make of thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generation for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God." And by the way, that's why there's a nation of Israel today. That's why right now there's a nation of Israel that's existing. All because of one man. All because of one man, Abraham. And all because he decided that he was going to walk before me. The path of his life was going to be that of that toward God. And he was going to not walk a certain way and walk a certain way. And you know what? He was going to obey that command of be thou perfect or be thou complete and be everything God wanted him to be. Because of that, there's a nation of Israel today. God kept his promise to Abraham. So here's the thing. 2015, Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Let's remember something. Let's remember that I am the Almighty God. Recognize God for who he is in our lives, and let's do things his way. Amen? I mean, hey, if it's in the Bible, if it's what we're supposed to do, let's do that. Let's do it his way. Let's walk before him on the right paths. I mean, hey, they're going to be defined for you through the preaching. They're defined through us as we read the Word of God. Walk on those paths in 2015 and be perfect or be complete. Do everything you know to do that's right in 2015. So as we look ahead to this new year, I pray this will be a blessing to you. And let's, hey, here's the thing, folks. Let's make 2015 the best year we've ever had in our Christian walk. Let's make it the best one we've ever had. I mean, folks, I know we keep saying this, and it sounds like just something we repeat all the time, but I'm telling you, Jesus probably is going to come. I really think he will. I hope he will. I'm praying that he will. This could be the year he comes, 2015. I really believe that. Hey, I had that same attitude in 2014. I thought it was going to be the year he was going to come. All I want to say is this, we're 1 year closer, and this could be it, folks. I mean, this could be the year. So let's walk before him. Let's remember who he is, and let's stay on the right paths in this new year. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for Sunday school class this morning. Thank you for the challenge from your word. Help us, God. We need you, Lord. And thank you, Lord, for clearly defining what you expect out of our lives. And help us, Lord, to do just here what you commanded Abram to do. And Lord, through that, we know you'll bless us. And just help us, Lord. Bless all the folks here this morning. I know there's different burdens, different needs. I pray that you'd meet those. And bless us now. Bless the service to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.